This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wang Xiaoning. It is 6 o'clock in the morning, Friday, get this, the 1st of November. Can you imagine, Xiaoning, we're already into November? We've got 2 months until the end of the year.
Where did the 10 months go? I don't know, I blinked and it was gone.
Yeah, it's passed in the blink of an eye.
You know what, Lin Mark, I'm sorry to inform you that when you get to my age, in the 40s, I'll admit it today, time goes by so fast, you cannot believe it.
I mean, time's going by pretty fast already. I think once you start working, kind of,
it's downhill all the way.
But because you're always looking forward to that next project, that next deadline.
No, I'm looking forward to the next weekend, this weekend, the next weekend, the next public holiday.
Okay, when I said looking forward, I didn't mean as in the actually like being excited for the next deadline, you know. Well, yeah, and it's in the middle of the monsoon season as well right now, so it's a bit of a rainy November so far.
Very rainy, and hopefully no folks get caught in any floods in the next few days, because it has happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, like some of the major roads in KL have just completely submerged.
Yes, over the past week or so, I've gotten trapped by floods twice in the area of KL where I live. So I've had to park by the side of the road and just kind of wait for between half an hour to an hour before I could actually get past them.
I mean, I know that these flash floods are unexpected, but we also can do our part by not throwing trash into the drains, because that contributes to this sudden flooding on main roads. I mean, we are also guilty and we should be more mindful of it.
Yeah, yeah. I was at an event last week where I spoke to some lovely people from SW Corp, and they were telling me that, you know, when it comes to recycling, they have the facilities, they have the incinerators. The biggest problem is the trash that doesn't even make it into the bin. You know, it's the trash that gets left by the side of the road, and just... what can they do about that? They can't go around picking rubbish every single day.
No, it's true. I mean, you can't expect the authorities to clean up all the trash, right? Mm-hmm. I think everybody just needs to just put the trash in the right place, or like do a bit like the Japanese style. Take it with you if you can't find a bin.
Yes, and I think this month also we are facing some flood warnings from the meteorological department. So just be careful if you are going to be driving during the heavy rains. In the meantime, though, we do have a lot of interesting things lined up for you this morning. What are we going to be talking about?
Well, I'm going to be asking whether you're ever too old to still remain a kid. You know, For me, I think we must always keep this little child within us alive, and maybe a playground is the way to go.
All right. And we're also going to be talking about an interesting character, this woman who has climbed Everest 9 times and set a women's world record. So the question is, why doesn't she have any sponsors? We're going to be getting into that right after this. But first, here's some music. Pinball Wizard by Elton John, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Pinball Wizard there by Elton John, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wang Xiaoning. Now, there's this interesting article in The Guardian this morning, and it focuses on a woman named Lakpa Sherpa, and she is a Nepalese woman. She is of the Sherpa ethnic group, and she holds a number of world records. She was the first Nepalese woman to summit Mount Everest and descend alive, and she also holds the world record for the number of times a woman has actually climbed Everest and returned. So she has climbed Everest 9 times. So the question asked in this article is, why doesn't she have any sponsors? And it's an interesting look into her life and the reasons why she does what she does.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at her, a remarkable woman. She's an immigrant living in the U.S. She does really blue-collar work, right? Mm-hmm. She's a dishwasher. She works in 7-Eleven. She has a daughter. Her husband was abusive, left her. It's like a pretty sad story, but at the same time, you can see she's still so filled with optimism. Mm-hmm. And even in the interview or the article, she doesn't come across as a bitter or sad at all, right? She kind of sees life quite optimistic, and even the writer says she's a wise woman, you know. So, But why doesn't she get the sponsorship? That I, you know, that question keeps coming into my mind, right? I mean, what she's done is definitely remarkable. But is it because she's invisible in a way?
Yeah, she's a world-class athlete, you know.
And I mean, climbing Everest is no joke, right? And doing it 9 times is amazing.
And so there has been the segment of society around climbing that often discounts the work of the Sherpas, because the Sherpas typically act as guides for...
Yeah. They're the ones that make sure that you get up safely and make sure that you come down safely. But yet they are never remarked in terms of like who climbed this and who climbed that.
No, and how many times they've climbed or anything. And so Lakpas has several siblings who have also climbed Everest. One of her brothers has also climbed Everest, summited 10, 11 times. So, you know, it's no small feat. And every time they make a trip up the mountain, it's what, 2 months? Out of the year?
Easily.
And it's dangerous. There are over 100 bodies still left on Mount Everest because people die. 6 to 8 people die every year climbing the mountain. So it's really no joke what they do. But yeah, the question remains, you know, why doesn't she receive more international attention? And the article does take a stab at answering this question because, you know, she's not that traditionally marketable, as they point out. She doesn't have a curated Instagram account. You know, she's not...
She's not out there, is she?
She's not out there. She's not young, pretty, white in a lot of cases. She's an immigrant single mother who speaks almost no English. And she's a middle-aged woman of colour.
Yeah, and she does something that I guess is not so visible versus the likes of, let's say, tennis or even like, you know, popular sports or gymnastics or swimming.
Yeah, that are showcased at huge sporting events like the Olympics, right? There's no Olympics for mountain climbing.
No, I mean, and there's no like big tennis event for mountain climbing either, right? There's no grand slams of mountain climbing. So she's so below the radar that I don't know whether even, you know, these outdoor gear companies, do they even know that she exists? That's my question, you know.
Yeah, I guess that is the question because... Otherwise, you know, on the one hand, you can tell from the article and what from the kinds of things that she says that she is very passionate about what she does. You know, she herself says that, you know, that her ambition right now is to climb Everest and to climb a second mountain, K2, which she didn't manage to climb previously because of the weather. And she fully admits that it's crazy. But she does say that all world-class athletes are a little bit crazy.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, for you to be so determined, right?
For you to be so determined and for you to weather all of that pain and suffering in order to achieve the goals that you've set for yourself, you have to be a little bit insane.
No, not a little bit, quite. I think quite insane.
Yeah, but at the same time...
In a good way.
In a good way. But at the same time, you know, the question is, why does she, like other Sherpas, why does she guide people up the mountain? And the bald fact of the matter is money. Because otherwise, she would struggle to make rent. Her other alternative is to plant potatoes in Nepal. You know, so...
She has so few options.
She has very few options. And when she's not climbing the mountain, she is doing blue-collar work. And she doesn't tell people, the people whose houses she cleans, that she has summited Everest 9 times because she finds that the conversations that ensue are always rather awkward.
Yeah, because you would think that, oh my goodness, I have a world-class athlete doing my housekeeping.
Yeah,
you know?
Taking out my trash.
Yeah. You know, you always have this vision of world-class athletes, like... having a glamorous life, and I mean like earning big bucks, like Serena Williams last year, prize money, $4.2 million, for example, endorsements, $25 million. And I mean, of course, she's at the top of her game.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that this lady didn't make the same sacrifices, didn't, you know, go through all those hard times to get to the pinnacle of her career, but yet not noticed at all. That's the sad point.
Indeed it is. And do let us know what you think as well about this. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a few messages coming up for you and then more fascinating discussions. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Harmony Hall by Vampire Weekend. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Xiaoning. Now, as countries around the world face the problem of aging populations, more and more cities are starting to adopt adopt an interesting feature that's already that you can already see in some public parks around China. Specifically, these are playgrounds specially designed for older people in order to help them increase their strength, increase their flexibility. These are not parks with basketball hoops or baseball diamonds. You know, they're parks with walking trails and machines like ellipticals for people to gather and do exercises that will just help them stay healthy in their old age.
Yeah, I mean, there's a combination of like you can do like light cardio workout and gentle strength training, right? And I think the best thing about this is a place where the elderly or the older people can kind of congregate, do their little exercises, maybe do a bit of chit chat, and then after that probably go and have some dim sum for breakfast since it's China, right? Or some, I'm sure some food follows after the exercise.
Especially anywhere in Asia, food will immediately follow.
Yeah, so you've done your workout, then you feel a little bit less guilty and then you go and eat something quickly.
Yeah, it's that sense of community, right? Because this is an article out of the BBC. So several researchers have tackled this issue of building public parks that are actually used by the elderly. And some of them found that when you build a park or a playground that is supposed to cater to several generations, a lot of people from the older generations just won't use them because a lot of them are embarrassed. You know, it's a psychological barrier. But when these playgrounds are designed specifically for the elderly and they have their own little communities that congregate there every morning for just maybe light stretching, for a bit of Tai Chi, for a bit of dancing, they're much more likely to see use. And there are also other factors that go into designing these elderly playgrounds, right? So community is one of them. Accessibility is another. So in London, Hyde Park has a senior citizen playground as well. And it is located very close to the road. So it's much easier to get to than some of the other playgrounds and parks within Hyde Park. And I guess it's basically catering to the needs more specifically of older people as they become less mobile.
Yeah, I think they shouldn't be ignored for sure. I mean, they also need to remain healthy. And as we, all of us grow, longevity increases, the need to stay healthy or to stay fit and mobile is required. And just because we live in a city doesn't mean that our options are like, oh, go to the gym, that's the only solution, or you do some fancy Pilates bootcamp training, which, you know, is popular now, but maybe not so suitable when you're in your 70s or something you don't want to do in your 70s. Although I do see some elderly people in my boot camp class, kudos to them, carrying the tire.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, wow. For the rest of us, I mean, as we age, yeah, you want to think about maybe doing something a little bit less crazy, but still exercising.
Yeah, so reading this article, it made me think of my grandmother, who's in her 80s. And for the longest time, so my grandmother was an athlete when she was young. She was a state badminton player. She played hockey for her district. And even now into her 80s, she's still very determined about her exercises. But most of them are done in the safety of her house because she doesn't feel comfortable going out and walking on the roads, for example, even if it's with her helper. So I can imagine, you know, having a place like this where it's catered towards you and the machines are all, you know, there's a picture of the machines.
Don't look complicated.
They don't look complicated, and they all are very secure in the sense that they have handholds. They have, you know, they are not very high off the ground for you to step onto. I feel like this would be something that she would actually make use of, and I think there are some of these kinds of playgrounds scattered around.
I have seen them. Not many. In some of the suburbs, but definitely not as many as like I've seen in Korea. Mm. Korea is quite common. China is pretty common.
Japan is very common too. Yeah. But these are all countries that are already facing the demographic trap, right?
So maybe we will see more in KL. I hope we will see more in KL, actually. So
indeed.
Parks shouldn't just be for the young. It should be also for the elderly.
Yeah. And when it comes to, you know, the question of who's going to pay for it, well, you know, the bigger question is if you have an aging society that are not necessarily that that healthy, the healthcare cost is also, at the end of the day, going to be borne by the state. But do let us know what you think. Do you think elderly playgrounds or senior playgrounds would actually encourage our elderly folk to get out and exercise? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have the news now coming up for you, but first, some music. Here's Already Gone by the Eagles, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was I Want That Man by Deborah Harry, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wang Xiaoning. Now, over in the US, there has been a new bipartisan bill floated in Congress on Monday, proposing that or requiring that any beef not derived from cows, i.e. plant-based meat like Impossible Burgers or even Beyond Meat, that these products would have to be labeled imitation. Because I guess they're concerned that people might actually mistake them for real meat and I guess be duped.
Firstly, where are they stored in the supermarket? It's not in the meat aisle, right? I gather it wouldn't be. It would be probably in a separate section. So I don't know why you're confused in the first place. But if you are, maybe. But don't you read the labels before you buy stuff?
I guess not, you know, maybe. But then for me, whenever I pick up a new product in supermarkets, the first thing I do is going to be inspect it, right?
Yeah, you're going to like, it's not like your normal Ramly Burger, for example. Okay, mm-hmm. let's use the Malaysian version. Ramly Burger, you pretty much know what it looks like, right? It's got like this yellow color symbol. If you pick up something else that's not a Ramly Burger, I'm sure you're going to check it out. What is this? Look a little bit at the packaging. And if you're a bit more hardworking, you'll look at the ingredients. And then you'll see 100% plant and put it back down. Because I'm less likely to eat a vegetarian burger, I'll confess. But how would you get confused?
Yeah, I don't know. So I guess this is very similar to the whole confusion around the word milk. Right?
Yeah.
Because milk is now no longer just something that you get from a cow. It's something that you get from a variety of nuts as well.
I don't know. I don't call that milk. To me, that's whatever juice, okay? A nut juice. I don't understand how a nut can have milk, okay?
I mean,
nut
it has
extract.
A fat content. Maybe, yes.
Come on, nut extract. It's not milk. You know? And it doesn't taste anything like milk. As you all know, I find it weird, right? I find all this nut extract juice / milk weird. But that's me, lah.
I just maintain that you've been drinking the wrong ones because, you know, yeah, some like almond milks can really taste like cardboard, but there are some good ones out there.
Okay, I'm going to keep an open mind. But I mean, all this like, okay, let's call it like fake meat, fake cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Will you be confused? I have to confess, I was a little bit confused with the fake cheese because it's kept in the same aisle, in the same fridge section, refrigeration section in my local supermarket, side by side with the real dairy cheese. And the packaging was very similar. I had to read it carefully.
Okay, I confess I've never actually encountered fake cheese. What is it made of?
It's made from cashew nuts.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so like your almond milk, but now there's cheese.
Now there's a cheese version.
There's a cashew cheese.
Mm.
And it was a bit confusing. I was like, what is this cashew? I thought, you know, it was like some cashew nuts in a cheese. Nope, there's no milk in it at all. It's not really even a cheese.
Interesting, okay.
So yeah, I think sometimes labels can, I'll confess, maybe a bit confusing, especially if you put them in the same refrigeration aisles. But meat and vegetarian food usually aren't together in the same section, are they?
I guess not, unless, of course, you have cases where maybe you know, whoever put the fake cheese on the shelves wasn't really aware of the difference either. Could that be?
That could be
a case,
because
right?
Looked, you know, the way they displayed it looked exactly the same.
But my question is that is this something that you would really need legislation to deal with? Is that the only way that you have to address this kind of issue? I mean, even then, there's not a lot of evidence to suggest that people are actually that confused about what Impossible Burgers or Beyond Meat actually produce.
No, but, you know, everybody wants to protect their turf, right, in a way. I mean, you think about labelling, of course, like, let's say, champagne.
Mm.
Only if those, you know, it's grown from a particular region in France, do you have the right to call it champagne. Otherwise, everything else is sparkling wine. So, am I correct? It's sparkling wine, right? Just so there's a little bit of like, I guess you want to protect your
copyright
thing. Yeah, and then you want to be like a little bit snobby about it. So, okay, I don't know. Does this apply to meat then?
Yeah, I guess so. There apparently have been several lawsuits in the US this summer challenging some of the laws that ban plant-based and cell-cultured meat producers from using words like meat, beef, chicken, and sausages. So this is an actual battle that's happening in the courts over in the US. And I wonder whether it's something that we could eventually see happening here in Malaysia as well. Do you think that we will actually start seeing things like Beyond Meat on our shelves?
I've already seen some soy-based burger versions in my supermarket aisle. Of course, these are the slightly more atas supermarkets. It's not the local. Even in the local ones, I've seen them. Because Asia has had a long culture of vegetarianism anyway. I mean, a lot of Indians and Chinese sometimes go vegetarian or are already full-time vegetarian. So we have a lot of these mock meat products in the freezer. If you actually look into them, they already exist. So it's nothing new, but I think, are we going to be so easily duped?
But maybe it's because we already have that culture of vegetarianism very, you know, much more ingrained in Asian cultures than in Western cultures, that we wouldn't be as confused by finding plant-based meats, for example, in our freezers.
And I think if you're vegetarian, honestly, wouldn't you actually be reading the labels even more carefully?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the people that eat meat that have to be mindful. It's the vegetarians who are already mindful. They have that mindset, right? I'm only going to eat vegetables. So hence, I'm going to read all the labels carefully. I mean, we have one one of the news team is vegan, and I think he checks everything quite carefully before
he
buys
does.
It. So the onus is on you if you want to be careful.
Well, do let us know what you think. Would you rather see plant-based meats be labelled imitation? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a few messages coming up for you now, and then after that, we'll be taking a look at what's been said in the papers. So be sure to stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Addicted to Love by Florence and the Machine, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Shaoning. Thanks very much for all your social media messages. We've had a couple of tweets and WhatsApps on the stories that we've discussed. So we talked about Lakpa Sherpa, who is a world-class athlete and who has the world record for number of times summiting Everest for a woman. So she has summited Everest 9 times. But the question has always been, as with other, I guess, world-class athletes like her, she's not very visible. And Joan Lee weighed in on this, and he says, not marketable is the keyword that was spelled out clearly in the article.
Yeah, sadly, right? And Ro also said, you know, traditional sporting achievements and accolades ought to evolve to applaud and reward real-world athletes, not just the glamorous ones sometimes.
Indeed, because sometimes it is these people who are really achieving the pinnacle of the sport, not necessarily in the public eye, that we should nevertheless be paying attention to. Now, we also had a bit of a discussion on whether or not certain plant-based meats or cellular lab-grown meats, whether they should be given a specific label to denote that they are not, in fact, meat. And Chow Pong says, can't assume everyone is as exposed and as literate as the urban millennials. Labeling would help them, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure for some people it would be useful. Maybe a bigger word, you know, no meat or something like that, rather
something
than
like
imitation.
That. Yeah, because if we're going down the route of whether or not people would be completely, like, fully understanding of what that means, yeah.
And then Iman said that as long as it lowers the carbon footprint, he's all in about eating less meat.
Yeah, because it's one of those things that you kind of can't really deny. If we're talking just from an environmental and a sustainability point of view, meat production is a very big culprit to environmental pollution.
Yeah, it is. And then looking at the newspapers today, I think the Straits Times, the front page is about the low cost for the RTS. Now, this project has been delayed for a few years, but it looks like it's going ahead. And the good news is that the cost for it will be about 36% lower. And of course, this is part of the plans to reduce that terrible congestion that people face every day at the CIQ, at the immigration between Singapore and Johor. So good for the state, and also might help in terms of the oversupply property situation there.
Yeah, so the Star has also gone with that for its headline. RTS to proceed as planned, but several issues need to be ironed out. Now, apparently construction on the RTS is only going to be starting next year after some issues need to be resolved, including inking three new agreements expected to be signed by both countries. So construction is expected to be start next year.
And then on page four of the Straits Times, there is this little small, well, not so small, article on yesterday we talked about Jolo's settlement with the US Department of Justice, and now Malaysia will proceed to make a claim on the 1MDB assets in the United States following that settlement.
And I think we also talked a bit about a couple who's facing abuse charges in Norway yesterday, because that was one of the headlines of, I believe it was either the Metro or the Sina Harian yesterday. And that is in the Star as well this morning. Malaysians in Norway accused of hitting their kids. So this is very similar to a case in Sweden about 4 years ago, where another Malaysian couple were also faced child abuse charges. So I believe this current case is now a couple are accused of forcing their children to fast and potentially beating them. But I think some of these charges still have yet to be proved. So there are three kids involved in this current case.
Oh, interesting. Page two of the Reserved, it's about the PLAS, because PLAS clarifies misleading report on debt and operational efficiency. And then Tan Sri Halimsah rebuts that PLAS statement. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to discuss this a little bit more at 9:15.
All right, well, that is all that we have for you in the papers this morning, because we're heading into the 7 o'clock news, and after that, the business end of the morning run. So here to take you to the news is Stevie Wonder with Signed, Sealed and Delivered, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.